Well, we are on our final lesson on Zoom Out. Originally, I had planned to end the week before, but realizing I had about 3 weeks in between finishing up this series and starting our one that will go along with our small groups on spiritual disciplines, I was trying to think what I could fit in with only 2 to 3 weeks, along with outdoor worship that I'm excited for, and trying to figure out what would fit, and I kept coming up with a bunch of one-off sermons ideas. And then I realized one of those actually fits Zoom Out. And that's just the idea of how do we take everything that we've done and actually tell that story? How do we take everything we've talked about into a format that each of us can understand? So to do that, we're going to draw today. So if you did not get paper and pen, we've got extras in the back. If you can't get up, maybe raise your hand. Maybe Jeff can come and bring you some. But let me explain. A lot of this I stole from this book. True Story, A Christianity Worth Believing In by James Chung. He actually came to Lipscomb when I was there in college and told us about this book, to which I immediately bought it. Now, let me explain the premise behind this book. So, if you've been in the church world, you have probably heard many ways of telling the story. Maybe you've learned the Romans Road. You've learned to do it on your hand, the salvation. I learned one of my favorites was how to tell the story of Jesus with 7 toothpicks, which I cannot remember to save my life, but I still have the 7 toothpicks in my office. But this was one I really enjoyed, because he wanted to tell the story in a more nuanced way. And that whole idea was, if you only had a napkin, could you tell the story? And so he started by going over this old version. This is not the part we're drawing, but maybe you've heard the story, right? We're separated from God. There's this giant chasm. We can't get across. We want to get to the other side to be with God, but we can't. And that's when Jesus came in and built the bridge between the two to get to the other side. And the author's point is that that's all well and good, but this is very simplistic and actually misses a few things. One of which, this only focuses on the individual. This is all about just a decision. If you believe in Jesus, make the decision and you get to heaven. And it's all about the afterlife, just getting to the end. And so he wanted a way to tell the story that took it from this, but made it more communal, transformational, made it about living a life that was on mission, not just about the afterlife. And so he tells the story about how he sat down in a coffee shop with a friend, and on a napkin, he started to tell the story. And so that's what we're going to do today. And so if you think about the pieces of paper you have, think about the number 4 on a dice. We're going to have 4 circles in each corner, so you want them nice and big. But we start off with this first one. And I love how he starts this off. He doesn't start off where you would normally think. He starts off by just saying, think of the world around us. We love this world and the community and people that we have in it. But if you talk to anyone long about our world, what are they going to say? It's great, right? But there's some problems, right? There's earthquakes and other natural disasters. There's corrupt governments. There's cancer. There's just evil. And so you draw a squiggly line to represent that our world is broken. I think this is a spot that we can all resonate with, right? This is easy for us to understand. We have seen this before. Any of us can turn on the news and have a conversation with somebody about this moment right here. This is an easy starting point. We live in a broken world. And this is where, as Christians, we get to start telling the story. Because a lot of people have very little hope. when they start talking about the brokenness of the world. And we as Christians get to step in and say, but that's not what was intended. See, the world before it was broken was made to be good. It was intended to be good. We were designed to be good. And so we draw this first circle, actually. We started with the second. We're on the first now. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. And at the end of this day, he says, it was all very good. Jumping ahead. So we see that the world was intended to be good from the beginning. And even more importantly, we draw an inner circle around us because we have a relationship with God. A God who walked in the garden with them. A God who spoke to them. A God who there was nothing in between them. We were able to see him face to face and share with him. A life of relationship with him. That's what was intended. And so the question then becomes, so what happened? Why did God let us go from this intended world to this brokenness? Well, it's as Ephesians says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You can look at Eve and say, look at that, for as we talked about. The snake walks in and he says what? He makes it about her. He makes it about us. He makes us look inward on ourselves in this broken world. And so we have arrows pointing in on ourselves, this idea that we get selfish and we look at our own desires and decide that our desires are more important than God's and anyone else's. For Eve, it was looking at the fruit and saying she desired it and took and ate it. But throughout Scripture, we see the same thing of those who saw something they desire and so they took and they ate it. We know from our own lives the things that we desired and we decided that we cared more about those than anyone else or what God had to say about it. And so because of that decision, not only is our world broken, but there's a brokenness between our relationships and a brokenness between us and God. Like, that's the problem. When we make it about ourselves, we can't help but distance ourselves from other people. When we're only focused on ourselves, we purposely put a hand out to the others around us. And so the question becomes, what do we do about it? And this is the important thing, because I think we all understand we don't want to be there. None of us want to live in this broken world. We want to make it better. But the truth is, how does something broken fix what is broken? And so we're stuck with this next circle, still a broken world. But the only one who could do something does something. As Romans says, but God showed this great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Or as John puts it, the Word became flesh. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. No matter what you see, it's the idea that God had to intervene. And so Jesus enters the story. He comes down to our broken world and restores the relationship with him. Taking it all in on the cross and dying for our sins. And so because of that, he saves us. Now this is the point in the story where hopefully you would interject and start telling your own story. What that looked like for you. Because as you understand, just going through the story alone can get dry, can get boring. There are some people that immediately, as they hear this broken world and that there's a way to fix it, they jump in. For others, like most of us, they need a good story. They need us to be wrapped in. And the best of stories are the ones that we tell about ourselves. And so it's that idea of saying, listen, I was just a kid. I grew up in the church. But even as a kid in the church, I realized I was messed up. I didn't listen. I didn't obey. And so it was very easy for me to make this decision early in my life because I realized I couldn't do it without help. And that's when I gave my life. And the beautiful thing is, it wasn't just Jesus dying on the cross. We focus on that so often, but it wasn't just his death, but it was his life that showed us how to live. Jesus gives us the commandments. He says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And so we see that God not only restores a relationship with us, he gives us the ability, but now he's showing us how to love God and love others, to restore that brokenness between us and other individuals. And that's hard. We're going to talk about a little bit of that in Q&A or Q&R later today. But that idea of how do you love your enemies? How do you love those that are so different than you? By looking at Jesus' life. That's what he came, that's what he did. And so we see this God who took on human flesh for us. Not just to die and save us of our sins, but to show us the way through himself. And see, this is where a lot of those things say, okay, we're done, right? You get them baptized, they believe, we're all good, case done, over. I always got so frustrated when people treated baptism like the finish line. It's like, oh good, they finally got baptized. I'm like, no, that's not how that works. And so when I would baptize people, I try to remind them, this isn't the finish line, this is only the beginning. This is the step, the first step that you take in a long life of now living it out. And so we draw another world. Still broken. That's something I always want to make sure people understand. Just because Jesus came did not fix everything. That time will come and we're getting to it in our story. But for now, our world is still broken. But there's a difference in the broken world that we were talking about in the beginning and the broken world as Christians we now see. Because as Christians, we know something that the rest of the world doesn't. The hope of Jesus Christ. We understand that there is something more out there. We understand that we live in a world that is centered around Jesus. And so we can take that relationship with Jesus and share the good news. This is why Peter said, each of you must repent of your sins. Turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so people come. And this is the beauty of it. And this will take you the longest to draw and will mess with those that like things to look perfect because there's a circle now where you want to put a bunch of people. Because it wasn't just a relationship with us, it was a community that we got from this. Because as more and more people give their lives to Christ, they find each other in community. I think that's something we don't talk about enough. It's one of the things we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. We're going to talk about just the importance of even something like small groups. We were made to be in each other's lives. That's one of the most beautiful things that we've been given, is this ability to be together. That even though we come from different walks of life, there is something that draws us together. That's why my favorite verse is still John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give you, love one another, and by this they will know you are my disciples. Because they see Jesus when they go, man, I look out in this audience, I look out in this crowd, and I go, man, how can they even sit there together? I know what they believe, and I know what they believe. They're not supposed to be in the same room. They should be fighting. They should be throwing things at each other. That's what the rest of the broken world says. How can this generation hang out with this generation? Don't they hear how they treat us? Don't they hear what they say? And yet, we can come together and say, no, 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 you don't understand. Yes, there are differences, and yes, there's even arguments and bickering and frustrations. We're no different. Other than one main thing, the one who brought us all together, the one who lives in us now, the spirit that indwells in these people. And so, therefore, as Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, we're called out to be sent into the broken world. Jesus was very clear. He prayed for the protection of the disciples. We're in the world, but not of the world. He says, the world is going to hate you because you're one of mine. He goes, but I'm sending you into the world because you are going to be the one that brings this healing. You're going to partner with me as I share this good news. Because ultimately, the good news, and this is where you can miss it, is this little arrow that one day he's going to bring us back to that complete world. It's not going to look the same. It's not just that garden with a couple people in the middle. No, no. Now it's become a city. Now it's become that community has shifted into this beautiful thing where we can all share in it together. This is where I would hope that you can encourage them by saying, you know, think of the beautiful things of this world. Think of the things, you know, we talked about the broken world and the bad things, but talk about all the good things, the laughter, the joy, the beauty of nature. These are all things that we will still have, but the imperfect wholeness, no longer corrupted by sin and death. The fact that we have time to just sit and rest and be in the moment, to work knowing that there's fulfillment and purpose, to enjoy laughter and fellowship over a meal with people. These are the beautiful things that are supposed to be a part of our world that we're trying, actually, as we're sent out, to actually bring into this world in small pockets now. That's something I forgot to mention last week that I really wanted to make sure we understood. When we talk about heaven, we are actually people that can bring heaven down now. Heaven is being with God. God dwells in us. And because of that, we can actually be that moment for people where they draw close to God and have little glimpses of heaven now, and sharing a meal and loving those around us. But see, this is the problem that comes in. When you start to tell this story, people go, that's all fine and good. But there's one thing they have a problem with. I say one thing. There's many things that they can have a problem with, but there's usually one that they want to talk about. Why can't I just go from the broken world back to the good world? Why can't I do it on my own? I'm a good person. I know how to do this. That's fine. We can. You've seen science. You've seen technology. We're making strides. We're becoming a better place. It's going to be good. We can do it. We don't need to go your path. We don't need Jesus. I still think this is one of the biggest defenses I hear from people all the time. I'm good enough. Said in many different ways, but that's what they say. What they're saying is, why can't I just go from this broken world back to the good one? And I'd say, first off, you might think you can do it for yourself, but that doesn't mean you could do it for the rest of the world. Secondly, I would say that we've seen that. Romans says this, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The truth is, if you read your Old Testament for just a couple chapters, you see quickly what happens when we try to make it good on our own. I think that's why we have a lot of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is there to show us, this is what happens when you try to do it your own way. That's what Judges is. That gets messed up fast. Even when they have God trying to give them a blueprint of how to live, we see constantly these people who, man, we think they've got it right, and they spiral down quickly. That's what's happening. Is every time we try to do it on our own, inevitably, it comes back to that selfishness of our own desires and our own selves thinking we know what's best. And so we continue the broken path. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It is only going through Jesus. This isn't trying to be, you know, argumentative. This isn't trying to say we know better. This is simply saying, this is the way. In the same way someone might tell you how to take your medicine, or when someone knows the way out, they're simply saying, this is the way out. You can try other ways, but I'm telling you, this is it. And so we follow this path that leads, not again, like I said, not just to a transformation of us knowing Jesus, but a mission life that gets sent out through church and through others. The truth is, like I said, that there are many ways to tell this story. But the reason I love this one is you can actually meet a lot of people and ask them where they're at by asking them, once you share this with them, where they are in the path. Because it works not just for them, but it works for us. Where are you? Are you still a person here struggling with this broken world and you have not given your life to Christ? Are you? Which is where I would ask people, are you tired of trying it your way? I have a friend that would tell the story that she was so stubborn that she had to hit rock bottom not once but twice to finally give up and tell God, okay, fine, we'll try it your way. And she tells about the story of saying that prayer on her knees, broken in her home, not living a life that she should, and how she finally just called out to God and said, fine, we'll try it your way and see how it changes things. And she says that instantly, from that day on, life started changing for her. That's the power when we stop trying to run it our ways and we will let go and trust that maybe there is something different. And don't get me wrong, that's hard talking to these people because we have some weird things when it comes to following Jesus. We say things like turn the other cheek. We say things like give what you have because more will just somehow fill you up. Blessings will abound as you continue to give. Even just the act of confessing our belief is done by dunking someone in water. It is. It's comical, right? But the truth is, it's a humbling moment. Are you willing to trust? I've always, when I talked about that humbling moment, looked at the story of Naaman. He's told by Elisha how to be healed. Hey, go to the Jordan River, dip 7 times, and you'll be healed. And the guy's like, no. Do you know how dirty that water is? This is a practical joke. He's pulling on me. And he leaves expecting not to do it. It's only as he's leaving that one of the, you know, you can just picture it, right? The army guys are sitting there going, hey, like, if they had said conquer, like, all these towns, or kill this many enemies, or do this grand feat, you would have done it in a heartbeat. I mean, why not try the water? And I can just picture that moment. He gives in, fine. And you know, I've been asked before, you know, how do you think it happened? Did it happen gradually? I don't think anything changed for the first 6 dips. I truly believe, 1, 2, he's looking at himself going, ha-ha, we got me to get in the water. But it's not until the 7th one that he comes out and it says his skin is as fresh as a newborn baby. When it comes to following Christ, sometimes we're asked to do things that seem different. And the truth is, it is just water. There's nothing special about it. It's the act of going through that, of humbling ourselves and saying, God, I give you everything. And symbolically dying to ourselves and giving it over to him to become alive the way he did. That's the beauty of the story. Then there's people that maybe they have made that decision. Maybe you're there right now. You've made that decision and you're all in. And you've been sitting in a pew, enjoying that grace, never doing anything else. Because you were told baptism's the end. You're good. You're going to heaven. Sit back, relax. No! I love what Carrie said. Heaven forbid someone asks you, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? We're called to go forth and tell others this great news. We would tell these people, our neighbors, our friends, our family, about how the weather is, and yet we have the best news of all to share with them. We have the ability to share with others, and not just through our words, but our actions. The way we serve, the way we love, showing them who we really are by living it out day to day. I don't know what this story is for you, but I know each of you has a story, and I love it because everyone likes to say, oh, I don't have the greatest of stories. Stop telling yourself that. You have a story that no one else has. Like, I am fascinated by every story that people come and tell me. I think I have a boring story. And then I get reminded of the things that have happened in my life. Maybe not as I came to know Christ, but as I have followed Christ, I have seen miraculous things. You have a story. And if you think yours is boring, you can come tell me your story and I will show you how it's not. That's the challenge I will throw down. But I do want you to remember this, and I invite the praise team up as I wrap up. Psalm 78 says this, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. You want to know why I think we live in a world right now where even just here in America, it seems bleak sometimes? I think it's because we forgot to tell the story. every time in Scripture, when they see it getting bad, it's because the generation died and did not pass along, and the children didn't remember. And I don't mean just our children. I just mean everyone. The people who should be coming next, we forget to tell them, and all of a sudden we wonder, well, how come everyone started getting more selfish? How come everyone made it about themselves? How come all this consumerism and everything's taking over? Because we didn't tell a story good enough. We didn't show them the hope, the love, the beauty of who Jesus is. And so hopefully this little paper, or maybe other ways you have of sharing the story, helps you in telling that next story to someone else you know.